Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could come into a mold for ice cubes and then put them in my drink and say, don't you like salty water? My guest today is an actor, a writer. You know him from the smash hit series on Netflix called A Big Mouth and Human Resources. They have a new self-help book. Hey, you gotta be you. I have it in my hand. It's available September 27th. So I got an early copy. You better believe I've got Brandon Kyle Goodman.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What a treat. Your book cover is so fucking fun. Purple
Thank
one,
you.
My favorite color. A leather or pleather skirt, whatever. Dealer's choice. Very cute. Big old hat. I love it.
Yes. Just queer and black.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I do think more queer black people need more visibility, which is funny.
Talk about it.
Because we're very visible.
We're very visible.
You know what I mean?
We're in everything, but we're not there. It's wild.
And like fat black women need more visibility, which is fully ironic. Because we the biggest bitches out there.
And we need to give y'all some more value, some more worth, some more money, honey.
Yes, give me that money.
Coins, coins, coins.
And I was campaigning for an Emmy. My whole campaign said, give me an Emmy. She did not win because it would be homophobic if RuPaul didn't win. And I say that with love. Because I love RuPaul. Yes. Thankful that that I'm allowed to be part of the show.
Listen, that's a good person to lose to.
Oh, it's my favorite.
We lost our NAACP award to the Obamas. So I was like,
to the Obamas?
To the Obamas. Just the Obamas.
Barack Obama was nominated for an Emmy this year. And when I heard his name being said, I said out loud, and I didn't even realize I said it. I said, he has enough. He was president. Like, what?
He's good. Y'all want to give him more?
Yeah, he's great. And now we're going to give him entertainment awards? No.
He doesn't need those. He's fine. He's set.
Although, I did see a video.
Did he know he was nominated? I feel like it's just like amongst the many accolades, it's just kind of like at that point, you're like,
Maybe. I don't know. He was probably like, what? An Emmy? Not another Nobel Peace Prize? That was a terrible Obama impression. I'll own it. It was bad. Although, okay, I love our first black president, but I did see a video recently that resurfaced because Alabama right now, Jackson, Alabama, is having a water crisis.
Yes.
Nobody's really fucking talking about it because it's a black community, but these people can't fucking bathe, brush their teeth. They have to get bottled water. And then Flint still doesn't have fucking water still. It's been fucking years. And there's a video of Obama going to Flint and pretending to drink the water. And
oh no,
I don't know how real it is, but I saw it on like several different things. But you know how things get like skewed and whatnot. And I'm just like, why isn't environmental crisis when they happen to black people important? If it happened to Beverly Hills, if Beverly Hills had brown fucking drinking water,
oh baby,
what?
That should be cleaned in a minute. Well, that's the thing I always say about New York, right? Like whenever it snows, I used to live in Harlem, 145th and Broadway.
Yes, I lived at 146 and Broadway.
Shut up, we were neighbors for a little bit.
Yes. Do you remember that McDonald's right on 146th Street?
Yes, 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 at the corner.
Yes, they called it the T-word McDonald's. Not me, the working girls.
Oh, okay.
The sex workers who would frequent there. So I would get there super, super like late at like 3, 4 a.m. when they were switching menus. So sometimes I'd be like, can I have a chicken nugget as an appetizer? And then they'd give me my pancakes. And all the girls thought I was very funny.
I love that vibe. Also, chicken nuggets and pancakes. That sounds like the best.
It is.
It's kind of like fried chicken and waffles, but like a
yes!
McDonald's version of it. 1,000%. I forget why I was telling you I was up there. Oh, when it snows, and I would work on the Upper West Side, snow was gone. Like it was like it didn't snow mm-hmm. on the streets, but mm-hmm. if you went uptown, baby, we were in an avalanche. And I think that yes. is the same thing. Wherever black and brown people exist, there is not the same priority or quickness yeah. or, investment in our safety.
It is fully wild. Yeah, the fervor's not there for us. And mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, why don't we band together and figure it out? But then it's like, why are we paying taxes? Why do I pay taxes if I have to fucking figure shit out?
I know. We dodging a lot. We trying to stay alive. We're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get ahead. Mm-hmm. And we got to worry about plowing these streets and our water. Like, come on.
I'm tired.
Tired.
Wait, where did you work on the Upper West Side?
I used to be a spin and bar instructor at a company called Flywheel Sports. It was kind of like a competitor at one point to SoulCycle. And so I used to teach on the Upper West Side. I used to teach in all the white places, Upper East Side, Chelsea, with all the fancy white ladies and a couple of fancy white men. Hello, fancy white men.
I've always been very intimidated of classes like that. I just get intimidated by classes in general because people claim that they're inclusive. Yes, be a fatty. They love it. They want to help you. They don't want to help you. They want to giggle at you. They want to tell you you're doing shit wrong. It's mean.
There are clients who love the mean energy, and I never understood that. Like people a mean instructor. I'm like, that is not my vibe, babe. Like I'm here. I want to be praised. Mm-hmm. I want a red carpet. I want cold water that has like, you know, infused cucumbers in it. Like take
yes,
care of me, babe.
Give me that spa water.
Yes, the spa water I need. Yeah, no, I can't do that. The main shit.
So wait, do you live in LA now?
I do. 7 years next week. We're recording this early, but September 15th is my 7-year anniversary. It's crazy.
I love that. My anniversary is October something. I'd have to go back in my calendar to see what the actual date was, but I did not want to leave New York.
At all. Are you from New York?
Well, I grew up in Jersey.
Okay,
and
so
then yeah, throughout high school, would just like go to the city,
always
hang out in the city all the time. And then I was like, well, obviously I have to live there. And every time I go back, I go, oh Lord, it's hard.
It's hard. And you know, I always say like, even when I go back for work, when you go back for work, it's so cush because they treat actors and talent like, you know, gods.
Oh, you're in a beautiful hotel of your choosing, honey. They flew you first class on a flatbed.
Yes, the per diem.
Ooh, they're picking you up in a nice car.
Absolutely.
Yes. The man says it's the air to your liking. There's water and snacks in the back. And I say, oh, don't mind if I do. My purse is thirsty. Take all that shit.
Take all of it. I'm taking all this, but it's still difficult. And I'm like, I can't do it. It's still difficult.
It's tough.
Yeah. Did that sound crazy? Did that just sound so privileged?
Yeah.
But I mean, for black luxury, okay? Black people being soft and having nice things and being bougie, fuck it. Here we are.
Yeah. I'll talk about bougie shit because the world loves to knock me down pegs all the time. I was going for a voiceover recording. This is maybe last week. And I said the name of the production. Let me see if I could figure out a different name for it. It was like climb time. And I was like, I'm here for climb time. And they were like, I don't know what. No, I think you belong upstairs for fine time. And I was like, no, I'm saying climb time. And he's like, I don't know. Who's your contact? Call them. You don't belong here. And he kept saying the words, you don't belong here. And that is triggering because it's happened before. And what they're implying is you, black person, don't belong at this production.
Yes.
And I know some listeners who are of the lighter persuasion and like, you're reading too much into it. And I'm like,
no,
because people change after someone else goes, no, Nicole is the lead of this. She's on the production. Then that man was like, oh, no, I had thought you said something that rhymed with what I said. And I said, I just looked at him and I said, oh, okay. And he was like, right this way. And then he was like, are you having a good day? And I said, no. Because when you realized you were wrong, you could have said sorry or anything to acknowledge that I am a human being that you were just being rude to.
Yeah.
And that old white man just blinked at me. And then when I was leaving, tried to say goodbye again. And I said, no, I don't fuck with you.
No.
And then continued talking to the engineer. Because I was like, no, if you can't be nice or just all you had to say was, my God, I am so sorry that you said something that rhymed with the production here and that I thought it rhymed with.
And you know that's bullshit.
Yes.
You know, you were like, climb time.
Period. Climb time. Not fine time. What fine time is happening upstairs? Sir, I hate you. I hate that man.
Ugh. I hate him for you and I hate him with you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. If you send me a picture and I see him, we could jump him.
Oh my God. Thank you. I will love that. He would go down hard. But today I was in Studio City because I had to do another voiceover. And I was like, I never eat breakfast. I think I'm going to have a smoothie. Do you have smoothies?
I do. Oh, over there. You were asking if that's
what it is. Have you ever had a smoothie?
Have you had a smoothie?
What's your favorite smoothie?
Do you remember Jamba Juice? That used to be my jam.
I was looking for a Jamba Juice, and then I was looking for a Planet smoothie, and I was like, I guess the smoothie game has changed.
It's changed a lot. You got to go to the vegan, I think it's like the vegan spots, like the Earth bars and things now make.
Yeah, I went to a place called What a Peach, which is around the corner from like this gym. So like I ordered my stuff, and then these very like buff people came out. And this one man was like, I know you from Instagram. He's like, yeah, you should follow. I got like some really great stuff on there, good content. And I was like, I hate the world we live in. I was like, give me my chocolate peanut butter smoothie, which probably isn't healthy.
Babe, I just want my smoothie. I'm not looking for good content. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not here for the content.
Okay,
we talked about me for 11 minutes.
I love that you have time.
I want to talk about you.
What do you want to know about?
Wait, you're young.
I'm young?
Yes, you graduated from Tisch in 2009?
Yes. Thank you for calling me young because they really do be calling me old. My husband calls me old a lot. He's 33.
That's rude.
I'm 35.
Wait, how did I think you were younger than that?
No. Because my skin, because of Botox, because of lasers.
I don't know, 2009 seemed like such a long time ago.
It does, but it is.
Or no, such a short time ago in my brain.
Short time. No, it's really long because we're 2023, 2009. I don't do math well, but you know,
it's
a long time ago.
What was Tisch like?
White, and chaotic, and also fun and exciting because you know you're like literally in the middle of New York City, and you know if you're queer, you know, it can be a wonderful space. If you're POC and queer, it can be an adjustment still. But it was great. You know, like your campus is the low, like, is the village, is the Greenwich Village, West Village. And so it's just not, I don't think it's a typical college experience. I went to boarding high school, which was probably closer to a college experience, as we had like one main campus.
You went to boarding high school?
Yes, boarding high school in Rome, Georgia. You want to hear something crazy? Want to hear something really fucked up?
What?
My freshman year of high school in Rome, Georgia, at Darlington School.
Oh, Georgia.
There were three new history teachers that were there my first year. It was Mrs. Higgins. It was Mr. Hitch. And it was Mr. DeSantis. Yes, that DeSantis in Florida.
Ron DeSantis was your teacher?
He was not my teacher. He was, I think, in the house above me, but he was one of the history teachers because he was like the sophomore year history teacher. But I used to cross by him and it was always bad vibes. And then when I like made the connection recently that it was the same person, I was like, oh, that tracks. That's why I always had bad vibes with him.
Interesting. He probably was one of those people that was like, the Civil War was about states' rights, not slavery.
Probably. I'm grateful I wasn't in his class. But yes, now I'm wondering what kind of history he taught. You're absolutely right.
What that a was fucking tragic. Nightmare.
Fucking nightmare. But yeah, Rome, Georgia. So I went to school. It was like an hour outside of Atlanta, about 10 minutes from Alabama, like the border. One time got chased by the KKK. It was good times.
No. Wait, was it like... Were they in full geesh? Like, were they in...
No, it was scarier than that, honestly, in some ways. It was... So, okay, so my best friend at the time, we're still close, but was a white woman. I'm a black person. And her family moved to this, like, lake house in Alabama, which wasn't too far from the school because, like I said, by the border. So one day we were in Rome. One evening we went into Rome to watch a movie, The Da Vinci Code. So I'm like really dating ourselves. We like watch The Da Vinci Code. We're like on our way back to Alabama. And we have the choices of like doing the front roads or the back roads. Now, in Alabama, in this part, it's the same, except the front roads, you have to stop at stoplights. The back roads, you don't.
Okay.
So we're like, all right, bet, take the back roads. So we take the back roads. We got the brights. We're driving to the back roads. And there we come up behind a pickup truck. Red pickup truck going kind of slow. Mm-hmm. And then my friend goes, oh shit, my brights are on, because then they turn into like a garage, like a little parking garage. Mm-hmm. As they turn, and I kid you not, it's like time slowed down. Her brights hit the bumper stickers and it was two Klansmen on each side of the bumper. And she was like, is that the... And I was like, uh-huh. And she steps on the gas and keeps going. Suddenly, they pull out of that garage, and now they're behind us, and this very slow pickup truck is going very fucking fast on our ass. We are trying to call the police, trying to call dad, can't get in touch at all. Wait, did you freeze?
No.
Oh,
I'm raptured with this story.
Your face did not move. I was like, oh, wait, did it freeze? Did we get out?
No, I'm frightened for your safety. And I know you turned out okay.
We turned out okay. We worked out. Yes, we like, it was like no service, couldn't get a hold of her dad, couldn't get a hold of her mom. She was like, all right, I'm going to make this right turn on the way to the house. If they follow, we just have to keep going till the gas runs out, because I just can't take them to our house. I was like, we can call the police. She was like, no, we can't call the police because the chief is probably the head of the fucking KKK.
Oh, and
I was like,
God.
Oh, fair. Good call. So here we go up to this turn. She makes a sharp right and they keep going straight so they don't follow us. 10 minutes later, we get to our house. We finally get a hold of her mom. We like run into the house and tell her mom what happened. And her mom literally goes, oh, well, they were probably just trying to scare you. And I was like,
that is the wildest thing I've ever fucking heard.
It was crazy.
Oh, they were probably just trying to... Yeah, and then maybe fucking string you up. Like, what the fuck? People, you know, I love my white friends.
We love our friends.
A lot of them. They're nice. They're kind. But sometimes they have no idea what fear is. Like,
yes.
That shit's scary. It's fucking scary when someone throws the N-word at you out the window of a car, or like someone with an American flag hat and an American flag shirt starts coming at you a way that you're like, I don't know if this is going to end good.
I don't know if it's going to end well. I mean, I say this all the time, like even just like hearing a police siren, even though I know it's not coming, like when mm-hmm. you're driving and you hear a police siren or you just see a police car, my body immediately tenses up in a way that like, I know it doesn't tense up from a white friend. It's like, I know I'm driving well. I know I got everything together, but I'm immediately like, where's my insurance card? If they stop me, do I go on Instagram Live? Like, how do I feel? Mm-hmm. Like all these things immediately go through my head that I know that my white friends do not.
Here's a wild thing. So yeah. Like a lot of that always goes through my head. I never have my insurance card with me. Terrible. I never put the stickers where you're supposed to on the back of your car. I'm like begging to be pulled over at
you're
all times.
Begging.
Also, I'm unhinged. I say whatever's on my mind. But the only saving grace is if a cop shoots me, they're shooting America's sweetheart amongst children. And what a conversation parents are going to have with
piece.
Their kids. Racist police officers, gun down your favorite cake lady.
And you're like, we're going to talk about it.
And we got to talk about why and like why it happened. Sure, she wasn't doing anything legal. She didn't have any of the things that she needed. She mouthed off a little bit, but they could have just taken her in a lot. So that's honestly how I live my life, which could be bad.
I need you to print your insurance card out and put it in your glove compartment. That's your job today.
Well, one, you know, okay, that's a good job, but one would have to find it. That is the thing. I'd have to find it first.
Oh, and that's very hard.
I'm paid up on everything. Like, I know I just paid my registration. My insurance called and they were like, hey, bitch, you need to re-up. I said, thank you.
Thanks so much for the courtesy call.
Yeah, I'm like good to drive. I just don't have the documentation to tell me I'm good to drive. But you know what? How come in their fucking computer system, you can't pop in my name and it says paid up?
Period. Same with like the IRS. Like, why do I have to do these taxes? Y'all just send me the invoice. Like, what's
going
on?
Let me tell you something. They know.
They
already know how much I've made
because
today.
Because if I fuck up, y'all know.
You know. Why do I have to do anything?
Anything. Just send me the invoice, mama. Drop it. Text it.
My God. I had a friend
with the link
tell
to pay.
Me this story about how the IRS called him. And he was like talking about how much money he owed. And I was like, why are you lying to me? The IRS never calls. They only send you letters. And I just got a letter from the IRS saying, nobody's calling. If they're calling, don't answer.
No.
It's very, very...
It's always snail mail and you miss it. Because I don't check... How often do you check your mailbox?
Every single day. I love getting the mail.
Oh, good for you. I never check it.
Well, here's the thing. The lock is broken on my mailbox. I cannot leave things in there for too long.
Fair.
Because who knows who's going to rummage through it.
Fair.
Again, another thing I could simply fix.
But
I
why?
Truly just don't have the time.
It's fun to live on the edge. I like it.
Your mother, she's
yes.
from Trinidad.
And Tobago, yes, but Trinidad, yes.
And Tobago. What do they speak in Trinidad?
English, but patois. It's like a patois. So like Jamaica, the Caribbean in general, there's a mm-hmm. patois, but it's English.
Have you been?
I haven't been since I was a child, honestly. Like maybe like 9 or 10 was the last time I was there.
I want to go so bad. And your mother is an actress.
My mother, yes, was an actress. Now she's a born-again Christian, and she loves Jesus.
Yes, queen, you find Jesus, and you can't say some of the shit people write.
Period. When you find Jesus, you can't be on all these HBO shows, baby. They doing nasty stuff.
You want me to show a titty? And not for Jesus?
Not for Jesus.
What was it like growing up with a mother who was an actor?
It was fun and wild. And now that I'm in the industry, I have a lot of respect for what it was to be an actor, to be Black, to be a woman, and to have a child. Like, that is crazy that she was able to really sustain a career and send me to private school and, you know, keep up all the things that, you know, comes with having a child, let alone being an adult, in an industry that, you know, wasn't talking about Black as beautiful. It wasn't, you know, and she had natural hair, long locks, you know, where there wasn't an appreciation for her dark skin, for her being an immigrant. Like, there just wasn't the same visibility and conversations that are happening now. And even now we're like so behind. So imagine the 90s, the 80s, like it's just crazy.
It is crazy to think about. I constantly think about living single.
Yes.
And how everyone but Kim Fields, I think, had like natural hair. Like, I think Queen Latifah was just wearing like a flat iron, like, you know, press out or whatever. Maxine Waters, that's not her real name, but Maxine.
Yes, Erica Alexander.
No, Maxine Waters is in the government.
Maxine Shaw. Shaw, attorney at law.
My God.
And I went along with him. I'm like, yes, Maxine Waters on Living Single. Yes, I remember.
She was a dark-skinned woman with dreads.
Yes.
And I feel like I didn't see that often, but you saw it with like Whoopi Goldberg and then... I don't know. I feel like the representation of that has gone away a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see it a lot. Like Lupita Nyong, I don't know if I say her last name right. To her credit, I feel like I have never seen her in like a straight weave. I think she only really does natural styles, and I love that.
Yeah. I love seeing Mama Obama in her braids at the unveiling of the portrait last night, yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes, she was wearing her beautiful braids as they unveiled her her portrait, which was just so wonderful and powerful, you know, to see that representation there.
I gotta see it. Gotta look for it.
And I think Viola Davis does it too. Viola Davis and Cynthia Erivo always rocking the natural shortcut. So I feel like it's out there a little more, which is really nice and I think important.
It is nice and I do love it. And it's so wild to me that like if you Google like office hairstyles, you won't see like a black woman's hair. And then like there are some laws in some states where it's like you can't have dreads and work. Like it's
insane.
Wild.
Yeah. That Crown Act is important. I mean, you can't go to school. Some of these, you know, kids are getting kicked out of school or suspended for their box braids or whatever. And you're like, what? Why?
It is so wild how poorly. I mean, people listening to this podcast are like, oh, great. Two black people just complaining about how black people are treated. But guess what? Like, I don't know. It's
get into it. It's giving.
Did you see that fucking video on Twitter of, I think it was Zoe at Sesame Street being mean to the two little black girls. Did you see that?
Yes.
And then recently at Disney World, the happiest fucking place on earth, Rapunzel was ignoring a little black girl.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is that? In the words of Cardi B, what is that? I'm so confused.
What is that? And not to like demean or like be rude to someone who works in a theme park, but I'm sorry. You're a blue, fuzzy person who has to sweat in the heat. The least you could do is wave at a fucking kid.
Absolutely. What are you? Who are you discriminating against? I'm so confused.
You're not Zoe. You are Natalie, who goes home and lives in a studio apartment. Like, nothing wrong with a studio, but Natalie.
Nothing about that, but waving them fucking kids. Wave.
It's your job.
Yeah. It's a really... Those things were really painful to watch because... You know, you and I, we deal with whatever racism, whatever homophobia, misogyny, whatever that is. But as adults, to watch kids have to deal with it, it's painful for us as grownups. But to watch kids have to experience their favorite characters ignoring, it's like how evil of a person do you have to be to ignore a child like that?
Right?
It's just...
And if you don't like kids, you chose to be... In a place where there's kids.
There's so many other jobs you could do,
right?
Baby.
Anything else, baby. Also, are you a Disney person?
Yes. I'm not like a Disney adult, but I do have like a Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse poster over there. We love animation. I have Disney Plus. Hey, Disney, I want to be in Marvel. Hey, Marvel. But I'm not having my wedding at Cinderella's castle. You know that energy? That's not my energy.
Yeah, that energy is wild to me.
That's not my energy. Yeah.
I've been to Disney twice in 1 week because somebody in my life likes Disney.
Stressful, the chaos. Theme parks really stress me the fuck out. It's a lot of walking. I hear there's like a VIP version where like you pay some thousands of dollars, but then like you just cut all the lines and
the next time I go, that's what I'm doing because I cannot deal with this.
Period.
Waiting online with these ugly fucking families. It is wild to see an ugly person holding hands with another ugly person and looking down and seeing four ugly children being like, how? How didn't the ugly skip a generation or something? Like, how did you leave your home being like, we're fit for the world? And I know people are going to get mad at me and be like, Nicole, everyone's beautiful to somebody. Guess what? These people at Disney were not beautiful to me. I did have a point about Disney. I can't remember it.
You start thinking about those people you saw and you said, I'm distracted.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we were talking about Zoe being mean to those black kids. And then I was thinking about Disney.
And Rapunzel was mean at Disney.
But here's my question. And we will talk about dating at some point.
Sure, sure, sure.
Have you seen the Disney light show?
Oh, yes. When the parade, the light parade?
No, so there's I think it's called like the Electro Street Parade or something. That's just like on Main Street. But by Pirates of the Caribbean, there's like a full-blown light show with pyrotechnics and a giant ship. And it's like Disney's imagination, or not Disney, fucking Mickey's imagination. And then all these people with these like giant heads are moving their bodies in the weirdest way.
Oh,
it was like impressive, but also insane. I was like, what are we all watching? What is this?
You're also like, with that money, we could maybe fix the water in Jackson, Mississippi.
Kind of. Every time I went on the Cars ride and I was like, this ride is inside the size of a home. And some people don't have homes. Yes. And I was like, in a big car is talking to me and now I get to race around. I was like, what are we all doing?
Yes. Do you find that, like, insane, as you get older, like, the things that were, like, exciting and fun and beautiful as a kid or even as, like, in your 20s, but now that you're, like, I'm a grown-up who pays taxes and bills, I'm kind of like, wait, there are people who don't have anything and yet y'all got this kind of light show going? Couldn't y'all, like, cut that budget in half and maybe, I don't know.
Yes, I get really irate when I see what the starting rate, like, wages are at, like, a fast food restaurant, where I'm like, wait a minute. So McDonald's is this like global conglomerate that makes billions of fucking dollars a year.
Probably trillions.
Trillions, trillions, quadrillion. And their CEO, CFOs, VPs, all these people make so much money. But the person who has to deal with the public and people screaming about machines being broken and throwing French fries in their faces get $9 an hour.
Crazy.
And I'm like, and I know people are like, well, if you want to get paid more, get a better job. No. Why do the people who don't do anything get paid so much, but the people who actually do the work get paid so little? I feel like I feel like there should be salary caps on CEOs.
Yes.
If you make X amount of money and profit, you have to give it back to the workers. I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Yeah, that energy of like, oh, you should just get a better job. It's like, what are you talking about? Like this energy of like, you're supposed to struggle. And I'm not asking for like, you know, silver spoons, but there are a lot of people who have silver spoons. I mean, you know, when you go around New York City or LA, you're like, the rent is insane and people are paying it. So talk to me about the people who don't have access to that, who don't have those resources.
Yeah.
And the idea of saying, you should just get a different job. Get the fuck out of here. What?
It's wild. And then sometimes it's like, well, I do have a job and I live in my car because I literally cannot pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild in these streets.
It is. It is.
Real quick, we have to take a break.
I hate breaks, but I understand we got to pay the bills.
Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store. And learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's Quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta papi. I think I said, I love you, daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bop, beep, we're back. Okay.
Hey.
Okay, so, Brandon.
Yes.
You are not single.
No.
You have a husband.
I do.
You have a dog.
I do.
You met on Tinder.
We did.
Tell me about it.
Oh my goodness, where are all these facts coming from? How do you know all this?
I know,
shit?
Right? Lindsay, my assistant. My new assistant is, honestly, I don't know how she does it all.
On it. She's
People
on it.
People bother her all day, every day with questions for me, and she gets it all done. She gets these, like, I asked for a one pager on guests.
Yeah.
There's three pages on you.
Wow.
I have three fucking pages
three
of information.
Three pages.
On you. Yes.
All right. I'm excited. Yeah, all those. Look at me. I feel so fancy and important. I feel worthy. I feel valuable. I feel necessary. But we met on Tinder. So we met 7 years ago, actually, on Tinder. I had a one-way ticket to LA. He had a one-way ticket to Oakland. He was swiping for dick because he just got back from Peace Corps in Uganda and was going to stay. He was living in upstate New York, right outside of Poughkeepsie, Fishkill. Although he says that's not upstate, but I'm like, if it's not in the boroughs, it's upstate. So fuck out of here. So he had set his like radius or whatever to a very large rail because ain't nobody in Fishkill sucking dick like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, trying to catch all the fish.
Absolutely. So he matched with me, and I had like just sworn off men in general because I had just like broken up with somebody, and I was like, men suck. I'm gonna marry my career. Mm-hmm. And I was heading to LA, but I was like, all right, I'll go on this date because it'll be good material for like. At the time, I was doing stand-up, very short-lived stand-up career. I was like, it'll be good material. And we met, and we learned had Giardia, but he didn't know at the time. So, like, Giardia is like a stomach bug thing, so he couldn't really eat. He was also vegetarian. I was like, cool, I'm ordering all the chicken fingers, french fries, and mozzarella sticks. And I ate all of it in front of him, and he ain't eat nothing. And I was like, bet. And then I was like, and then I was like, I had plans because you know this is what you're supposed to do on a date. You're supposed to have other plans after the date so that you don't like give away all your tea. So I had plans to see a show at like 8 or something. So he like walked me to the theater, and on that walk was I think when I fell for him. And then aww. I saw the show, and he was like, maybe like later we could hang out because I'm gonna go dancing. I was like, all right, cool, give me a call. So I saw the show, went to the after party, went home, started doing my laundry. It's 11 o'clock at night. You know me, 11 o'clock, I'm staying home. I got a text from this man. When I tell you, I got into a cab so fast and got my ass back downtown to go meet this man. Apparently, when I walked in, he was kissing somebody. I didn't see it. He saw me push that guy away. We spent the rest of the evening together. I had to leave him at 4 a.m. We were in the bathroom urinal. It turned 4 a.m., you know, peeking at each other's penises in the urinal. As one does, romance. But I had to leave because there was a guy who I was kind of seeing in Syracuse who was getting into town at like 4:30 a.m. to stay with me.
Wow.
So I left my now husband, and I went home to meet this guy who spent the weekend with me, and then I never saw that guy again. And then now I'm married to Matthew.
I love it. Honestly, I love it specifically because He was kissing someone, pushed him away. You came in, you danced all night. You said, gotta go, have other plans. And those other plans were to fuck somebody else for the whole weekend.
Yes.
I'm like very envious of people who get to live lives like that. That's just like, God did not see that for me.
That's just a whole life. That's just hoeing.
I want to be a hoe.
You want to be a hoe? You want to be a hoe?
I would love. So I mean, right now, technically, I am like horny for love. Good. But like being a hoe seems so fun.
It is really fun. And you know, I'm an H-E-A-U-X hoe, which I think is different than an H-O-E hoe. And then there's H-O. Okay. One's a tool, right? Is H-O the tool or H-O-E the tool?
H-O-E is the tool.
Okay, then H-O is like the traditional hoe. Yes. And then H-E-A-U-X to me is a real hoe, which is like you reclaim your sexuality, you reclaim your vibes, you are, you know, unpacking the shame of around sex and the oppressive nature of sex, kind of the religious shame around all of it. I think you're also communicate and you take care of your partners to me. Like that's the hoe phase I'm interested in. Not a fuck boy phase or a fuck they phase, really
no,
a hoe phase.
Just like, I like what I feel like the world is heading to. It's funny because my Instagram feed is just like lots of queer, non-binary allies, people like, I don't shave my armpits, a lot of other women who don't shave their armpits. Non-binary people with like titties but mustaches.
Yes, yes.
And like I just like really love people living their best truths or whatever. And yes. Then it's funny, then I like went to Studio City today and I was like, ah, okay. Yes, the normies, the normal people who haven't quite gotten there. And to me it's so jarring when I leave my little either Instagram hole or like my friends.
Yeah.
Like I had a party where I had a non-binary friend who might seem masculine in like a little one piece bathing suit. And I was just like, it felt good. I was like, where is this? I want more.
Yeah. It's wild that it doesn't exist. I just watched this thing that Alok, do you know Alok? I don't know how to pronounce their last name.
Yes, I know
Alok
them.
Is incredible. And they just posted something that I was like, this is incredible. Just talking about how on Instagram, you know, people love to follow queer people and gender non-conforming people, non-binary people. But it's kind of like a freak show, but they don't care to see us on runways. They don't care to see us sitting next to them. It's always like this digital kind of quote unquote freak show. And where are we in kind of IRL on TV and media, like in value as well, which doesn't quite exist. And it's so sad because our influence is everywhere, you know, like to the beginning of our conversation, especially just as Black folks, as Black queer folks, our influence, our cadence, our language, our clothing, our hairstyles. I mean, come on, the Kardashians, like it's everywhere. And yet we aren't allowed to be at the table for it. So we got to build our own fucking tables.
It is wild. Did you see Kim's recent, I think it was like
Interview Magazine
cover where I was like, so now we're co-opting drag? Like that was a very draggy look and a jock strap with the femme. I was like, that's, for me,
very camp.
Draggy / non-binary, like playing with gender. And it's like, well, Kim does it. Does that, like, are we now going to open up the conversation about how, like, it's okay to dress how you want? Or does Kim just get to be Kim and then that's that?
I think that that is what is always the disappointing part of that stuff is that even, like, with, like, you know, no disrespect to Harry Styles or whatever, like, Harry wearing a dress, which I think is fabulous.
No, we can
like,
disrespect it. He's a cis white man who paints his nails and dresses in female clothing and is being heralded as like a groundbreaking.
Yes.
When I'm like, I don't know.
Why is it
groundbreaking? Why are we exalting that?
Timothée Chalamet recently at the Venice with the red the red outfit with a kind of backless.
Yeah, it's like a halter.
Yeah, like these, you know, straight cis or, you know, I don't want to assume anyone's sexuality.
Yeah, we don't actually know, but seemingly
presenting as cis white seemingly presenting as het, kind of doing these gender bending, gender non-conforming stuff with their fashion, get praised and mm-hmm. protected and valued. But those of us who actually, like, that is our that's our bread and butter. That's what we do. That's how we live day to day. Are constantly worried about our safety, constantly worried about, you know, if this outfit is going to stop us from getting that job or et cetera, et cetera. And so
Harry Styles' whole, like, watermelon sugar fucking evolution reminds me a lot of Miley Cyrus, and no shade to Miley, lover, very fun bangers, one of my favorite fucking albums, but she was like black for a minute.
Oh yeah, she
and
was.
Then she was like, hey y'all, now I'm back and I'm doing country. And it's just like
same with JT.
Okay.
Justin Timberlake did the similar as well, where he was black as hell. Justin was invited to the BET Awards, honey. Like, why people don't get invited to the BET
inclusive.
Awards?
We'll invite you. Beyonce, she didn't get no CMT nominations or whatever, but guess what?
Come
we
on.
Had Billy Ray do his duet with Lil Nas.
Come on.
Lil Nas X. We love inclusion. You do something.
We love
you do
inclusion.
A bop, come on over. But it's not the other way around.
And it's also very quiet when we need them to be loud, which is...
Correct.
That's the devastating thing. It's like, do whatever you want, dress however you want, but mm-hmm. also acknowledge where it comes from and protect those people who have fought to be able to, you know, be mask presenting wearing a dress or whatever the vibe is. And that kind of, that loudness, it's very quiet. Let's just say that.
It is quiet, and it is pretty wild when you think about it.
What's wild to you? Tell me.
Just that, like, white people can do literally whatever they want. Like, it's, when you, like, really, like, when it really boils down to it, you're like, Like, I watched a video of this white lady. She had some baby hairs, and she was like, I'm calling these slick downers or something. And I was like, ma'am.
Baby, what are you talking about?
You didn't wake up one day and say, I'm gonna do it. You saw this somewhere.
You saw it. Or the tick. I think for a minute, TikTok, like the skincare people were putting Vaseline on their faces and calling it like slugging or something like that. And it was like, bitch, what? Like, my grandmother used to slather Vaseline on my face. You did not invent a new skincare routine,
you didn't
mama.
Do it. Like, I was like, a white lady was selling bonnets for like $200. And I was like, I'm on it. I go to Amazon, get that for $1.
Period.
What are we all doing?
It is to your point, it is wild when you like sit down and think, oh, like because it's so second nature, because you've been doing it since you were little. I've been doing it since I was little, like correcting yourself and mm-hmm. watching yourself and protecting yourself. And then you realize that white people like don't do that in the same way at all.
They don't have to.
They don't have to. They can say whatever. I had somebody, I'm not gonna say anything, but a black girlfriend of mine, who's a writer, was telling me that somebody had said to her when she got nominated for something that they were like, you know that you're not gonna come to the ceremony. You're not allowed at the ceremony. Just like this mutual white male friend. And it was like, I can't even imagine fixing my mouth to say that to somebody, but
truly,
the privilege of this white man felt he could just say to her, this black woman, you know, I know you wrote that episode, but you're not coming in to the ceremony. So
that is
just so you know.
Absolutely wild.
Insane.
I don't like that
at all. But it was like, I was like shocked at that. And I was like, oh, that is privilege. That is an intense, mm-hmm. enormous amount of privilege where the way that the cis white person exists, they don't have to think about what they're saying because there are no mm-hmm. consequences for what they say.
Yeah. I had to have a couple of conversations with some ivory friends who were upset that they would go out for the side character in something and be like, ugh, it went diverse. Ugh, it's hard for me to get in a room because they're only hiring diverse people. And I'm like, if the lead was a person of color, then they could go non-diverse or include white people in the secondary parts. They didn't have to fill the lead with a white person and then go, oh, shit, we got to throw some sort of something in here.
Absolutely. I'm the magical queer Negro where they put it all in one. It's like, yes. Oh, they're gay and they're of color. Boom.
They're
we
gay,
got it.
They're
check,
of
check.
Color. They have all the wisdom. They dress snazzy and they live for you, honey. And it's like, you, this basic white lady, I live for you. Get real.
Get real. Never.
And then with writers' rooms, I hear it a lot. They're like, oh, they're not reading anymore like white people. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because they have...
Ten
their room of 10, they have 9 white people. The 10th one is an upper level person of color. And then the studio gave them money to hire another black person.
Literally.
That doesn't come out of their budget. So that's why they're doing it. Which
literally.
Is fucked up.
It's crazy. Like,
and it's so, whenever I hear a friend say that, I'm like...
But why are you saying that? When I first moved to LA, it was like, it's such a good time to be black. White people would say this to me on audition. It's such a, oh, what a great time to be black. Like, you know, y'all are getting all the parts. I was like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, show me. Show me.
Show
like,
me.
Break it down. Let's see. Let's see a beautiful fucking pie chart of what we see on television. I guarantee you it's still 90% white.
99% white.
Yes.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, because Scandal was on the air, you're like, oh, it's a good time to be like, get the fuck out.
And that's
here.
Not to say, I love a messy white.
I love
a messy white woman who's like, I can't get it together. You know?
But I love a white family that it's fucked up. I love it. Love it. Give me a fucked up white family any day. I'll watch.
But for every fucked up white family, give me a fucked up Puerto Rican family.
Please.
Or Iranian family.
Please.
I don't know. We're the fucking mixing pot, melting pot. Let the TV show it.
Something. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that for sure.
Real quick, we have to take another break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Okay, we still have to talk about relationships. It's a relationship podcast. I love how I keep saying, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. So, okay. So you guys, you dated long distance for 1 whole year.
Yes, we did.
How was it?
Hard. Hold on 1 second. Can I let my husband in real fast?
No, leave him out. No, yeah, absolutely. Please
leave
him out.
No white man outside. No white reparations. He could stand outside for a little longer. I just texted him to come in.
Yeah. What was it like to date long distance?
It was really, dating long distance was hard in the first couple months because we were doing New York to Oakland. And so the time difference, right? Like when I'm waking up, he's in the dead of sleep. When he's getting his day together, like I'm like wrapping up. So that was hard. When I moved to LA, and so we were doing LA to Oakland, same time zone, it was much easier. But still challenging. You know, it's hard to be away from your partner. And I've heard this from other long distance relationships, like, oh, here he comes, here he comes. And he's going to run in. My love, we still recording. So if you just scurry to the bedroom.
Oh, sure.
That would be wonderful.
Scurry to the bedroom.
That's a white word. They understand that. Scurry.
It's really funny.
For us, it's scary. That's different.
Scary.
You were scary.
Scary around. Scary, honey. Scary.
Black people go, oh, that's scary. That movie is scary for our white people. That's how they move. They scurry. I have to know how to code switch. So it was easier in the same time zone, but I've heard from other long distance that 2 weeks is like, if you can see each other every 2 weeks, that's ideal. 3 weeks, y'all start arguing with each other for no reason. So the max we would go is about 3 weeks. We got us a little Southwest card, racked up some bills, flying back and forth. Because I did the drive twice.
No, thank you.
My God, that drive is terrible.
Too hot traffic.
It's not pretty. It's awful. And then after a year, you know, my ass was never moving to Oakland. Not ever. That was never even an option. What? Get out of here.
No.
But he didn't really like living there, and the job that he had, he didn't love. So he moved to LA, and then that was an adjustment, you know?
I love it. And then you got married in the middle. You got married in Santa Barbara.
Yes. Wow. Your system really?
I kid you not. This woman is incredible. Like, the thing she'll like anticipate stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck? Love her. But yeah, you got married in Santa Barbara.
We got married in Santa Barbara.
In a courthouse,
which the Santa Barbara courthouse is gorgeous. Basically, we were trying to start planning a wedding, and I was like, I still got student loan debts, and the chairs are going to cost $10,000? You out your fucking mind. Let me tell you one thing about me, not paying $10,000 for the motherfucking folding chairs.
No, truly, that's wild.
The wedding industry is a scam. Do it. Have fun. But it is a scam. It's a full-on stop.
Yes, you find one white woman who's like, I can get you anything you want. And then she's like, here's the bill, and it's $100,000.
$100,000 for having a wedding at the park around the corner. Like, no, ma'am. The community park. Get the fuck out of here. So we were like, let's go to the courthouse, because the Santa Barbara courthouse is gorgeous. To the point where we took photos outside, and I posted it, and I had a couple friends passive-aggressively be like, oh, so happy that you had a wedding. Congratulations. Wish I could have been there.
That's very funny. And you're like, hey, we're literally on a sidewalk.
Maybe it's a sidewalk. It's just me and him and like two other people. Like, you're good. And so we've been married for, it'll be 4 years in January.
Congratulations. Who proposed to who?
We proposed to each other because we were arguing about who would propose to who, and my therapist, who happens to be a queer Latine woman, was like, why are you being so heterosexual? It's just feeling very patriarchal. It's giving heterosexuality. And I was like, oh, fair, drag me, Vanessa. So I talked to Matthew about it, and he was like, yeah. So we like planned it. We like woke up one morning. I said, do you want to get engaged today? And he said, I would love to. I went to work teaching spin class, came home, we went, picked out rings, and then later that night we went to Griffith Observatory. I took some photos, and then it was too crazy, so we went down to the bottom, and I literally proposed in like the dirt where there are like picnic benches. And so we have photos of me on my knee, him on his knee, and it was real cute.
I like that. I've talked about it before on the podcast, but I feel like a surprise, all right, whatever, that's fun, who cares? But I think it means more, or at least in my brain and my little heart, it means more to have a conversation. Would you like to get engaged today?
Yeah,
yes. Sure, why not? Okay, let's go ring shopping together so we can actually pick out what the fuck we like. And then we get to just ask each other. Even though we know the answer.
We know the answer. But it feels like
yeah. Ugh.
But to me, and it, you know, again, we grew up watching the fairy tales. So yes, we did want the person to like pop the question. But logistically, logically, like when you really think about it, it's like it is a big fucking deal to tell somebody you want to spend your life with them. Not just spend your life with them romantically, but like I want to link my bank accounts with you. I want my credit score to be linked to you. I want like all, like your whole world to come together. It's a big deal. And this idea that it's just going to be a surprise. Like,
we're just going to go, here you go. You want it? It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, no, I feel like it should be a conversation. It should be like, we want to do this. And there's something about it happening together, like both of us deciding together. I don't care what your gender is, but just two people having agency and autonomy in that decision, as opposed to it just like being sprung on you and you being like, yes. That shit seems wild.
I mean, honestly, I would like to have a conversation before it happens, if it ever happens for me. And then I would like to say, you know me, I love drama. We must go to a public place, maybe the Grove, in front of the Cheesecake Factory where the fountain is. And I would like you to get on a knee, and I would like you to loudly scream, will you marry me? I will cry, boo-hoo, say yes, and then I'll get on my knee, and then I'll propose to you, and hopefully you'll be a boisterous person, you'll scream, you'll run around, and then people will be like, oh my God, and then we'll jump in the fountain, and we'll be escorted out of the Grove.
I love that. With your mozzarella sticks from Cheesecake Factory, absolutely, we got a to-go bag. Absolutely. I love that. I mean, the thing is, I think sometimes we think that like planning it takes away the surprise and the sentimentality of it. It does it, because it's still a big fucking deal, like, to love somebody so much to say I want to share my life with you, no matter if you know it's coming or not. Especially even if you know it's coming, it's still so beautiful and special, and I'm team plan your engagement with each other.
This I love. So wait, how long did you date before you got married?
We were together, I think we were together 3 years, engaged for together 2 years, engaged for one, and now we've been married for four. That'll make 7.
Oh my word, that's such a long time. I love it.
Yeah.
Before your husband, what were the other relationships you were in? Were they long term, short term?
Yeah. I was notoriously a 2-monther. And I actually said to Matthew, I was like, just so you know, I get bored after 2 months. I was unhinged.
I love it.
I was unhinged.
Just so you know,
there's a timeline on this, babe. I was at that when we met, I was really done with men. I was really, really like fucking over it. And so did you ever listen to, Lauryn Hill's Unplugged album? Have you ever listened to that?
No, I haven't.
Lauryn Hill put out this album on MTV Unplugged like decades ago, but she does a lot of really long interludes where she talks. And her whole thing was like, people trying to pretend like there's something they're not when they're dating is crazy, because eventually you're going to find out the truth. And so that's how I decided to approach this relationship. I was like, listen, this is what I do. This is what I like. And this is how I act. 2 months, you gone. It obviously lasted longer, but previously my relationships were about 2-3 months. There was one long-term relationship that was about 2.5 years or 2 years. It was an emotionally abusive relationship, so we had to get out of that. But that was probably the longest relationship outside of my marriage.
I don't know how to do that. I can't even imagine being with someone for so long. I feel like I'd constantly be like, do you still like me? Am I annoying?
There definitely was a period of that where you're like, you are insecure about. I think that, you know, somebody said, I forget who says it, but a relationship is where two people come to heal their childhood wounds. And I fully, fully believe that. Like, if your eyes are open, like your partner, with the right partner, you're really, it's less about them and more about you, more about like, what are the stuff that this relationship triggers? What are the attachments? What are the insecurities that this thing triggers? And so there's a beautiful opportunity to really learn more about yourself and grow with yourself as you grow with that partner. If you're both in it with your eyes open, there are a lot of people who are in relationships with their eyes closed. They're just in it because they want to be in a relationship as opposed to the emphasis being on the partner, right? The emphasis being on like, what kind of person do I want to spend time with, and who I can like grow and move through these difficult moments with. And so yes, insecurity is going to come up. Do I like you? Do you like me? All that's going to come up, but hopefully you have a partner who can talk you down off the ledge and remind you how loved you are, and who wants to figure out how to help you feel that and remind you of that. And you want to do the same for them. There was definitely a midpoint before the pandemic. We went to couples therapy, and I've said it to him. I'll say it to you. If we did not go to couples therapy, the pandemic would have gotten divorced. Period. Mm-hmm. I'm fully clear on that because we had gotten to our cap with the language and the understanding that we both had, right, in our own lives. Mm-hmm. It was as much as we could grow together, we had done it. And so to get to that next level was going to need professional help. And if we didn't get that, you know, you just get mad at each other and you get those insecurities come back up and there's no way to communicate about it. And you're just constantly clashing. And I think
think that's like really important for people to think about. Like, I think it's like couples therapy. You can even do it when things are good, but it's like, okay, I recognize a pattern and a problem. So like, let's just nip it in the bud because we can't seem to communicate in a way that's going to help. So why don't we get an unbiased person who's not in this to have eyes on this to like, tell me what's wrong?
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. I think about this with dating. I think about this with marriage. I think about it with parenting. There's this ego thing that like, we should all know how to do it. And most of us didn't see it. Like I had a single mother. I didn't see a relationship. So how would I know how to actually successfully be in it? Some mm-hmm. people have both their parents who were dysfunctional. So how would you actually know how to actually be in a relationship if you haven't been taught? This is our first time doing life. Mm-hmm. I've never had kids. How would I know how to raise kids? Like this fear of asking for help and asking for support and it making people feel like they're weak or they're dumb or that they don't know, like that they should just know. I should just know how to raise it. It's like, no, you shouldn't. Like, mm-hmm. this is your first time on planet Earth. So wouldn't it be great to just have some support, whether that's in a book, whether that's podcast, whether that's seeing a therapist, but like mm-hmm. really looking for the information and being curious about what it means to be in a relationship successfully, what it means to parent successfully, what it means to be married successfully. Like it's a learning curve. And I think that we need to, I don't know, put more emphasis and value on learning and not so much on like, I should just know. Cause the fairy tales didn't teach shit.
No, they really don't. One fairy tale's about a half fish woman.
Maybe.
I mean,
I was always like Cinderella. That and Cinderella to me is one of the stories that fucks me up the most because I'm always like, Mama lost her mom, lost her dad, was locked up in a tower in the top room with some evil ass stepmom and stepsisters. Then marries a prince, and we supposed to expect that everything went well when all her friends were mice. Fuck out of here.
Yeah. This bitch talks to mice.
To mice.
There's no way that prince is like, she's A-okay in my book. He probably wakes up in the morning. He's like, oh, she's talking to birds now. I don't know. I think my wife is going through it.
I think it might be
a manageable mental illness, but definitely some trauma to go through.
And he's been privileged his whole life and has had his ass wiped this whole life. Like, how is he being a good partner? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like if we really were to, like, stay with Cinderella and the prince post-Happily Ever After, you'd be like, there's some craziness
Same
happening.
Same with Beauty and the Beast. I read this theory that, like, he would break things in the room. And you have to remember, a lot of his things are people. So this man is killing people as a beast. Traps this woman, gives her books and a dress.
Yeah.
Stockholm syndrome sets in. Yeah. She falls in love.
Yeah.
He turns into like a cute-ish man, and she's like,
"I love him."
Okay, I love him.
That's my man.
That's my boo. He be That's murdering. I love.
He kidnapped me, but I love that. That's my man. I stand by my man.
So funny.
Like,
Brandon,
it's crazy. Yes.
I could truly talk to you forever.
All
but
day.
We are at the end.
Yes. I'm so sad about it.
Okay, tell me, what would you like to promote?
The biggest thing I want to promote is my book.
Yes, 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 yes.
My book, You Gotta Be You, which comes out on September 27th. And it's a part self-help, part memoir, learning to love the intersections of one's identity, specifically my Black queer identity. And the governing question that I start the book off with is, who would I be if society never got its hands on me? To me, to everything we're talking about, it's so important to me that we challenge what we've been told and taught by society and our family about our looks, about our, you know, how we talk, how we speak, how we dress, where we find joy and love. You know, so much of it is by rote and because we saw it, and not enough of like, I'm choosing this. You know, like the basic example is always like, you know, am I allowed to wear a dress? Why can't I wear a dress? Why can't Brandon Kyle Goodman in this male body with a penis wear a dress? Who does that hurt? And I have to give myself the freedom to at least try it on. Why can't I give myself the freedom to just try it the fuck on and see if I like it, see if it's something that that I value? And I might not like it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I don't need somebody to tell me because I'm a male or I'm a man or whatever, I can't do X, Y, and Z, or I'm a woman, I can't do X, Y, and Z. So who would you be if society never got its hands on you? And just really want people to be you.
That is such an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
I know I should end the podcast, but like, I mean this episode, but that's such a curious question. What would we all be like if
what would we all be like?
So I had a friend growing up who would wear a dress, her Dorothy costume from The Wizard of Oz to school, mm-hmm. and she would only respond to Dorothy. And the teacher had a parent-teacher conference with her mother, and the teacher was like, you know, you're not Dorothy, right? Like, we can't just call you Dorothy. And she was like, I'm just pretending. And then my friend from that day on never pretended again. And
wow, it killed it.
A fun person, but I would say, I think would be a more whimsical person if that interaction did not happen.
Me personally, I
hate math because of Ms. Gizzy, who got married and now she's Mrs. Rosado. I'll put names out there. Accuse me of cheating yes. on a fucking math test. I wasn't cheating. The way my brain works is I would look at answers and work backwards. And then if I couldn't get backwards, I'd be like, I don't know. But yeah. like, I just couldn't. Anyway, we do have to wrap up. So if you like this podcast, you can rate it, you can write it, rate it. Oh, wait, no, Brandon, would you date me?
Yes.
I asked everybody this.
Oh, my God. Like you said, I would talk to you for hours. So, yes, we could date. And we would be a power couple. The girls wouldn't know what to do with us.
They okay. sure wouldn't. Another question.
Yes.
Do you like Beyonce's new album?
Yes. I love it very
okay,
much.
Okay, great. I'm very suspicious of people who don't like it.
I am too.
Because people didn't like
them.
The first single. And I was like, you fucking ungrateful ingrates.
You're
she
ungrateful.
Gave us the bop of the summer.
For us
to like
summer.
Fucking be in the clubs. Saying, get rid of your job, free yourself, break my soul. Yes, I love
yes.
it. Anyway.
We should have seen you lucky you didn't start with Renaissance because this would have been a Renaissance podcast. Because
I mean, it's a perfect album top to bottom.
From top to bottom, what's your favorite song?
I loved
song?
Lemonade, but I thought Lemonade lacked without the visuals. Beyonce was a beautiful album.
Yes.
I'm also
a fan of 4. I thought, but the ballads on 4. But Renaissance feels like. It feels like all of that, all those albums, Black is King, Lemonade, Beyonce, like this, like in one kind of perfectly curated. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song, Alien Superstar.
Yes.
I really love Cozy. I think it's Virgo something.
Groove? Virgo's Groove.
Yes.
Plastic Off the Sofa into Virgo's Groove.
I was literally just listening to this. So I have it right up on my phone. But there's one that I really, really love. Move with Grace Jones is incredible.
Move is
and
great.
Then Summer Renaissance, is that where she is sampling
yes, Donna Summers.
Donna Summer.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
that's
yes.
also great. Honestly, it's top to bottom is a great unskippable. It's it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Cuff It will always like when that comes on in the car, I want to fuck something up. Like, come on.
Say, also Church Girl.
Church Girl.
Beyonce.
Are you a Church Girl?
I'm going to go see her on tour. If I have to miss work, I'll fucking do it. I do not care.
Look, call me. We'll go to the LA one. Yes.
I would love to.
There's supposed to be two more acts. And I was like, I don't know if she's going to do them separately or like do all three and do a concert. But if she does three separate concerts, I will be at all three. She can have all
I will
my money.
Go to all three as well. And I'm like, what is next? So I think she's going to do, so this one's House. I think she might do a country album.
I heard country and then I heard like R&B, like traditional like R&B. That's what I heard.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
We have to wrap it up.
We have to wrap up.
So if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, rate it, subscribe, whatever. Give me 5-star rating on iTunes or Apple fucking podcasts. And if you write me a nasty ass message hitting on me to whywon'tyoudateme@gmail.com, I will read it aloud. Also, Mars, my producer, she is the one who reads it. Do not send her dick pics. She don't want them. Okay, this nice person said, hi, baby. It's me, Tommy, the Australian DJ from Raya.
What?
I know I was all endless chats on the app, but I promise you, you'll love me once you get to know me. I totally go down on you, and I'd fuck you till you come. I'll only ghost you, like, for 2 weeks before inviting you to my super sick set I have at a no-name club. I treat you special, little girl, and let you worship my below-average cock. It'll be big one day. Just you wait. This seems so personal. Because I did date a person named Tommy from an app, but they were not an Australian DJ from Raya. This is strange to me.
It's not a good sell. Below average dick is not a good sell.
You know, sometimes people like to do that, to like undersell things, and they're like, guess what? It's big. But yeah. Guess what? Usually, it's not that big.
It's not that big.
All right. Well, get Brandon's book, You Gotta Be You, How to Embrace This Messy Life and Step Into Who You Really Are. Okay, baby.
Yeah. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solo-Taroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit beddys.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.